We're going to just look again at the baptism of Jesus and go a little bit deeper as we spend a few minutes thinking about it. At the start of something is special, and we like to mark it in some way. And we have some quite odd traditions to do this. So when a ship is launched, someone breaks a bottle of alcohol normally, against the side of the ship. When a new shopping centre opens, they get someone important in to cut a ribbon and unveil a plaque. We're taking photos this morning to mark our new occasion and having food together. Well, the start of Jesus' ministry, his extraordinary teaching and actions, is marked by baptism. Before this point, as far as we know, Jesus looked pretty ordinary. He was a carpenter in a small town, a small businessman, with family responsibilities, a son, an older brother, a member of the local synagogue. After this baptism, he starts to do and say remarkable things. And this strange ceremony, this having a bath with your clothes on, being dipped into the water and coming out again, it marks the start of the most important 3 years in human history. So we want to look at this ritual of baptism. What does it tell us about Jesus? What does it tell us about us as Christians? Because Jesus at the end of the gospel says, you must be baptized. My disciples must be baptized. So as we see what it means for Jesus, we also learn, what does it mean to be a Christian or to become a Christian? So what I want to suggest is that baptism is something where you add layers of meaning, a bit like a cake. So John's baptism is the bottom layer of the cake. Jesus' baptism adds something, and then Christian baptism is something on top. And we'll sort of see how that works. So you don't lose John's baptism's meaning, but you add more to it. So firstly, we're going to look at John's baptism. Chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So John comes on the scene and the message is stark. God is about to come and you need to change. You need to turn about. You need to admit that you're wrong. Now, if you had a messenger to go and tell people you're wrong and you need to change, I wonder where you'd send them. You know, maybe to one of those gangland areas in London where there's been all this knife crime. You're wrong, you need to change. Maybe to somewhere like North Korea, atheist state which imprisons and kills people. But would you send them into a church? Change, you're all wrong. God's coming and you need to get ready. Because that's what John does. He goes to the most religious and moral people on earth, the best people on earth, and says, you're not ready for God, but God's coming. You need to change. The Jewish people were the only people in the world who had a law from God. Everyone else was worshipping idols they'd made up. Most other people were not very moral. The Jews tried to keep God's law. He told them what was right and wrong. And yet John says, you're like trees to be cut down, verse 10, and thrown into the fire. You're just not ready. You're like chaff, dried bits of plant matter that are not ready to meet the fire. You'll be burnt up. The best people in the world needed to admit that they were wrong. Now, I don't know what you think of yourself this morning. It might be that you know that you're in the wrong and you think, yeah, I'm in the wrong. I need to say sorry. I'm glad that I can say sorry and that's the way to put things right. But it may be that you feel pretty good this morning. You know, you're not a murderer or a thief. You love your family. You're honest in your job. You pay your taxes. You help in community. And perhaps you're offended to be told you are not good enough for God. But that's the reality. In the Bible, goodness, being good enough for God, isn't defined by us going, well, here's the scale of human beings and I'm in the top third, so I'm okay. Goodness is defined by God and it's perfect. A perfect God who hates every evil act and thought and word. A God who hates every lie and every greedy act and every lustful click online and every selfish moment. And God tells us the truth, you're not good enough for me. You deserve my fiery anger, but I'm giving you a warning before I come with anger. Turn around and say sorry, and I can forgive you. So Emmanuel isn't a church of people who are good enough. Emmanuel is a church full of people who admit that they are bad, that they're not good enough, and have received forgiveness from Jesus. And that's good news. You don't have to have the burden of being good enough for God. You don't have to have to put on a mask and pretend to be good enough for God. All you do is come to Jesus and say, sorry, I am wrong, and he forgives us. So John's baptism, that's the base layer of baptism. We're not right, we're in the wrong, and we're sorry, and we want to be changed by God. But then we add Jesus' baptism. And Jesus' baptism, it tells us the good news. Rejoice that the king identifies with his sinful people. I don't know if you've noticed this, but in fictional universes, people who want to rule the universe are not good. Yeah? So Sauron in Middle Earth, the Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars, Voldemort in Harry Potter, Thanos in the latest Marvel film. If someone wants to rule the universe, you can assume they are bad, and they are bad for the people they want to rule over. But Jesus is very different. He is the rightful king. And he comes, verse 13, to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John says, no, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, let's do this. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Let me be identified as one of the sinful people because I want to rescue them. Here is the creator saying to his creatures, the creatures who've rejected him and rebelled against him, I love you and I will come to you in your mess to rescue you. And it's wonderful news that the king of the universe is good. Imagine how terrible it would be if the ultimate reality behind the universe, the king of the universe, was a Sauron or a Palpatine or a Voldemort or a Thanos. It would be horrible. And it's not enough for Jesus to be, you know, a somewhat good hero, a Captain America or a Harry Potter, a Luke Skywalker or an Aragorn. They're still not good enough. We need a perfect king who not only is perfect, but then comes down to our level to rescue us. And that is what baptism is all about. Just as Jesus goes down into the water and up again to identify with sinful people, so he goes down into our death, the death that we deserved, the hell that we deserved, so that he might rise again and lift us out of that death and hell and give us everlasting life. Look at Jesus' baptism and rejoice that this is our king. And it may be that you're thinking, okay, that all sounds very nice, but how do I know it's true? I don't have time to go into that question now. It's a really important question. So if that's your question, please do speak to me afterwards. Please do speak to a Christian friend. It's a really good question. We'd love to deal with another time. Jesus is good news because he is the righteous king who identifies with his sinful people. John's baptism, Jesus' baptism, Christian baptism. As we think about what a Christian is, we can do that by thinking about what is Christian baptism? Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That baptism sums up, what does it mean to be a Christian? So we've got John's baptism. I have to admit I'm wrong. I've been living without God. I need to turn to God and say, I can't earn it. Please forgive me. Please wash me. Then you've got Jesus. He comes down to us to accept us. But notice in Jesus' baptism, something else happens. He not only comes down graciously, he also is still the beloved Son. The Father says, I love you. I'm well pleased with you. And the Father anoints him with the Holy Spirit. He says, you need power to live right in my world. You need power to live for me here, so I'm going to give it to you without limits. And now that is part of the meaning of baptism for Christians. So Jesus deserves that. That's his by right. He graciously takes our status. Click on to the next slide. For us, we have to repent. We don't graciously repent. We actually need to repent. We're in the wrong. But what Christ gives us, if we receive him, symbolized by baptism, is the new status that Jesus has. Beloved child and given the Spirit. So when the Father looks at somebody who's trusted Jesus, he doesn't look at you and think, I've got a list of wrong things you've done this week and you're really disappointing me. He looks at you and thinks, you are my child whom I love. I'm pleased with you. I'm really pleased with you. I'm so glad you're in my family. That is the status that God gives to those who trust him. It's the infinite love that we were made for. And we try and fill up our lives, this sort of black hole at the center of our being, with all sorts of other things to make ourselves feel valuable and worthwhile. And whether it's likes on Facebook or a raise at work or the perfect home or whatever it is that we're trying to fill ourselves up with, it's not enough. But God's love is enough. The love that is given to us in Jesus. And at the same time, we're given the Spirit so that we're never alone. God is with us. And so that we have the power and the wisdom to live for God in this world. We'll see more of the sort of changed life and the mission that we get with belonging to Jesus as we go on in Matthew's gospel. We are a church that is all about Jesus because he's given us this new status, adopted into the family of God. We trust him to do all that we're powerless to achieve. We confess that we're in the wrong and that we keep getting it wrong. That confession we prayed at the start, it's not going to be the only time we have to pray that prayer at Emmanuel, because we're going to keep getting it wrong. But God is going to keep forgiving us because we trust Jesus. And now we want to live out this new identity, loved children of God. And if you've never trusted in Jesus, you can actually have that status with God, that being loved by God, you can have that today. You don't have to do a long course. You can pray to God and say sorry and ask for Jesus and become a child of God today. And for those of us who are Christians, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's live out this new identity that Jesus gives us, loved by the Father, given the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved us when we were your enemies. We thank you that you loved us enough to come and be counted as one of us. And we thank you that you give us, in exchange for us giving you our sin, you give us your status as royal son of the King of the universe. You give us the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us to receive that now. Help us to remember that and be changed by that. Amen.